Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Gerald, ex-movie mogul Harvey Weinstein, has undergone emergency heart surgery at a New York City hospital. The 72-year-old was taken to the hospital from the Rikers Island jail last night. He's awaiting a new trial on an appeals court after an appeals court overturned his 2020 rape and sexual assault convictions. A wildfire in California now covers more than 20,000 acres. Here's CBS's Ben Tracy.
More than 600 firefighters are trying to slow the spread of the blaze. The size of the line fire and the smoke-filled air forced people in the mountain communities of Running Springs and Arrow Bear Lake to evacuate.
Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump debate tomorrow night, and these folks are looking forward to it.
I got the popcorn already.
I think it's pretty important for her to do well, and I think she will. She's a really strong debater.
And the manhunt continues for a third straight day for a gunman who opened fire on a Kentucky interstate and injured five people. CBS News Brief. I'm Linda Kenyon.
Seth here, host of Over the Back Fence. We're on the air live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., taking your calls to buy or sell, talk local events, or whatever, only on WFHR.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Two new polls show a tight presidential race in Wisconsin. The CBS News YouGov poll finds 51% of likely voters favor Kamala Harris, while 49% back Donald Trump. Meanwhile, consulting firm Platform Communications finds Harris leading Trump with likely Wisconsin voters 48% to 45%. Donald Trump has denied knowing much about Project 2025, but he embraced one of its key provisions at a Saturday rally in Mosinee.
We will ultimately eliminate the Federal Department of Education and send education back to Wisconsin and back to the state.
Project 2025 is a sweeping action plan for the next Republican president to overhaul the government. Last week in Wisconsin, Education Secretary Miguel Cardona warned public schools are under attack. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Following our upcoming meetings in the listening area for Tuesday, September 10th. In Wood County, the Wisconsin Rapids Finance and Property Committee meeting is at 5 p.m. at City Hall. The Village of Port Edwards will hold their Village Board meeting at 7 p.m. at the Marshall Buehler Center. The Town of Rome will have their Plan Commission meeting at 4. In Portage County, the Central Wisconsin Joint Airport Board will meet at 8 a.m. in Mosinee. The Police and Fire Commission meeting will take place at 1 in the community room on Michigan Avenue. The County Healthcare Center Committee will meet at 5 at the Portage County Annex in Conference Rooms 1 and 2. The Village of Whiting will have their board meeting at 6. In Adams County, the City Property and Recreation Committee will meet at 9 a.m. The County Public Works meeting will begin at 10 a.m. and the Solid Waste Committee will meet at 4 p.m. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The Brewers get set to head west. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. After dropping two of three games to the Rockies and having won just twice in the past seven games, manager Pat Murphy said that the team is going through some growing pains.
They could be tired. They can be feeling it. They can be trying not to. You know, they can be trying too hard. You know, a lot of young players still in there. We had five, most of our lineup are basically first-year guys.
Milwaukee will set out on a six-game road trip out west beginning tomorrow in San Francisco. They'll play Arizona this weekend. The Brewers are still nine games up in the NL Central with 19 games to play. On Sunday, it'll be the Green Bay Packers taking on the Indianapolis Colts as each team seeks its first victory. For the Packers, they will be without Jordan Love, who is expected to miss at least 3 weeks with an MCL sprain. Malik Willis, who the Packers traded for in the preseason, will start this week's game. The Athletic reports that Green Bay has reached out to free agent quarterback Ryan Tannehill as well. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Civic Media Sports.
Are you ready to start a meaningful career in healthcare? Are you looking for a job that fits your work-life balance? Become a certified direct care professional today and make life better for older adults or people with a disability. WISC Caregiver Careers makes it easy. With free online training plus earn a $500 bonus. See your name on Wisconsin's Certified Direct Care Registry. Sign up today at WISCCaregiverCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the mid-50s. More sun than clouds with a slight sprinkle or shower chance tomorrow. High low 80s. Mostly sunny in mid-80s on Wednesday. Humidity levels stay down, but it heats up again on Thursday, upper 80s and mostly sunny. Right now it's 80.
It's time for Badger football. Get ready to plan your trip to Camp Randall this fall and enjoy our time-honored traditions like Jump Around and the iconic tunes of the Wisconsin Marching Band. With great tickets still available, you can join the crowd for exciting matchups against longtime conference foes like Penn State and brand-new Big Ten rival Oregon. Don't miss your chance to experience Badger football game day. Visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health. Because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
Tuesday morning, Hans Breitenmoser helps us with a little manure 101. There's a lot to know about finding the right balance between good crops and dirty water.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Monday, September 9th, 2024. Have your host, James J. Mayloff, here. We're welcoming in part one here our great friends from the Arts Council. We're going to be talking a little bit with Executive Director Sally Kistner. We'll have Eric Britnacher from the Performing Arts Center joining us as well. But, man, we kick this off on a great note. We are going to be joined by Colin Ray, wonderful, incredible musician. 24 top 10 records, 16 number one hits, been a 10-time Male Vocalist of the Year nominee, both five times with the CMAs, five times with the ACMs. Colin, I forget anything? I mean, you got a long resume, man.
So I could just listen to you keep talking all day. Okay, thank you so much. It's good to be talking to you, man. Thank you.
You too. I was really looking forward to this. I will journalistically mention to the audience right away, I've been a fan for a long time. I've enjoyed your style for a very long time. I didn't grow up with a lot of country music or anything, but one of the things that I got into with you in the 90s was I felt like your music didn't really... You couldn't really nail it down. I understand that you're a country male vocalist, but I grew up on a lot of blues and bluegrass, and I get a lot of that feel from you. I get a lot of that passion from you when it comes to that. Were there those influences for you?
Oh, yeah, totally. I've always kind of – my first musical love was country music, but I'm talking about when I was like 4 years old, 5 years old, 6 years old. My dad would bring home those like stacks of 45 singles back then, you know, and be Merle Haggard's newest single or Buck Owens' newest single, you know, and he would listen to them over and over and over again. And so when dinner was over, instead of watching TV, we listened to records, you know. So by the time I was like 11 years old, I was a country music historian, you know. I mean, I knew a lot. I could already probably sing you 10 Hank Williams songs at that point, you know, and that we thought that was the only music there was. My brother and I, and then you know, as I got into my teen years, I discovered rock and roll, I discovered blues. I'd actually known about blues already before, but didn't realize what it was. You know, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh yeah.
But I was influenced by a lot of different things. I mean, I saw a lot of arena rock shows in my teenage years, and of course, then when Waylon hit it really big in the 70s, you know, and exploded. Next thing you know, he's playing arenas and stadiums and everything. Got to see him a couple of times, you know, that kind of brought me back to country, you know. But even country was changing then a lot, too. There was a lot of those influences, especially blues influences, in that. And so by the time, to make a long story short, by the time I spent my 20s learning how to do this and working nonstop in Nevada and just bars and you name it, it was kind of a mixture of all that different type of music that influenced me that kind of turned me into what I wanted to do.
I'm doing this a little in reverse order, but I do want to rewind just for a second, Colin, because while so many, we've known about you for so long, you've been a name in music for quite some time, I feel like there's parts of you that we don't know that we haven't gotten a chance to find out. So I want to go back to the very beginning. Where are you from? What are your origin story, if you don't mind?
Okay, I was born in a very, very small town in Arkansas called Dequeen. which is about 50 miles north of Texarkana, which is right on the Texas-Arkansas line, you know. And but when I was very young, my family moved to Texarkana for better job opportunities or whatever, and so that's where I grew up, on the Texas side, and went to school there and wound up graduating there. But I was already playing music by the time I was really probably 12. We weren't very good, but I was, you know, but I was always in some kind of little band trying to, and by the time I was really 15, I knew that's what I wanted to do, or at least I was going to try to make my living playing music in some capacity or another. And of course, the brass ring being, you hope that you would make it big and have hit records and things like that. But I was always reserved the knowledge that that may not happen. You know, and so I thought, well, if I can just make a living, even if I'm if I play in bars all the time, if I create a band that's good enough, we'll get work, you know. And as fate would have it, good Lord helped me out. And then finally in 1990, I was approached by a producer who wanted to cut some demos on me in California. I went down and did that. And 3 weeks later, I had a record deal at Epic Records in Nashville, you know, so I got very blessed. I wouldn't say lucky, but got very blessed.
You know, it can be a little column A, a little column B. You get your skill, your talent stands out, and you get a little bit of luck thrown in there. Don't hurt. It don't hurt.
It don't hurt at all. And again, I think it's I think for a young artist, you just have to decide pretty early on what you're going to try to do and what your mission is and what the kind of the way you want your music to sound and thing, you know. And I think a lot of times people they wait for someone to tell them that, and that slows down the process, or sometimes makes it eliminates the chances, you know. But always, my brother and I, we started out together, and we always had an exact idea of what we wanted to do. And then in our 20s, like as brothers do, sometimes we went our separate ways, had different ideas about things, and so next thing you know, I'm a solo act, you know, and. And I guess that's the way it was supposed to be. But he went on to my brother Scott. He passed away a couple of years ago, and I'm very proud of him though, because he kind of got a rebirth when Miranda Lambert came out. He was Miranda's original band. It was just him, Scotty. It was just Miranda and Scotty down in Lindale, Texas. And I remember him coming to me saying, "You got to come see this girl I'm working with. I think she's really good." And so I did, and she blew me away. I thought, okay, she's really good, you know. Mm-hmm. And I felt like she was going to do well, but I had no idea how well she would wind up doing, you know. But Scotty was with her right up until the end, and I'm so thankful he got to do that. And he got to do some very cool things with Miranda.
I'm happy that he came up. I wanted to make sure that he got mentioned. I feel for you, your family, with that loss, and appreciate you sharing that with us. He seemed like a great guy. I would love to have him on the call with us here. And his ties to Miranda are noted. I talked about it on the Sunrise Show, our country music show, morning show we do. I'm a big fan of her work, and she's such a big fan of her bands and promoting them and everything. It's a real good artist. Most of the people we get the chance to talk to, especially musicians, they come from music families or their parents were musicians. I love the story of you and your dad listening to records. My dad and I used to do a similar thing. Was that where your love of music began, or what, did you come from a musical family?
Oh, yeah. My mom it was a nightclub singer when I was growing up. She actually, I'm going to brag on her a little bit. Her and her sister actually got to sing with Elvis.
Ooh,
back in like 1956, and it was a Sun Records tour that was going through that area, the Arklatex area, they call it, you know. And my mom and her sister, mom was like 17, her sister was like 19, and they used to sing in the churches around there and stuff, and what event people would have them show up and sing at weddings or events. And so the promoter who had booked Elvis, and it wasn't just Elvis, it was Elvis, Johnny Cash, Jerry Lee Lewis, and Carl Perkins on the same bill.
Wow.
So it was, and of course Elvis was the headliner, you know, and they, that's back when there weren't tour buses. Everyone just drove, like Elvis drove up to, there was a number of shows. I want to say there was like five or six shows in the area, and mom and Becky got picked to open this thing. Right. And she said Elvis, every time they would drive up, Elvis would just drive up in a Cadillac. He was driving it himself. And he had like a 3-piece band, and they had the bass, the upright bass strapped to the top of the Cadillac. That's how they traveled back then, you know. Yeah. Cash, the same thing. When Cash would show up, they're in a car, you know, Jerry Lee. And so about the third show, Elvis came up to them. He got there a little earlier than he had the first couple of shows. He came up to them, and he listened to them. And he said, he goes, I want to tell you girls are really, really good. You want to come out and sing some backgrounds with me on my show? So they're just like, but their dad was there, and he had told them, said, now you stay away from that Elvis Presley. Everybody thought he was dangerous. So, but Elvis went up to my grandpa and said, sir, I just want to tell you, you have two very lovely and talented daughters. And he was so kind and genuine about it. My grandpa was like, you know, that Elvis Presley, he's okay in my book. So my mom and Aunt Becky got to sing, like on the next three shows, would sing Oohs and Ahs and background with Elvis Presley.
Man, so
years later, when I was growing up, she was a nightclub singer and whatnot. And my dad was a bass player. My brother started playing lead guitar when he was like 6 years old. He was like a prodigy, you know. Mm. Took me a little longer to catch on. I started doing stuff when I was more like, you know, like I said, 12, 13, you know. And that's because of what my brother showed me. He showed me how to play bass. And so I was a bass player originally, you know. But yeah, music was a big, big part of our household.
It doesn't sound like it was a matter of if you were going to be in the country music, but, what you would do. You were born into it, man. That's amazing. Yeah. What a great story. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you so much. I'm sorry the story was so long.
No, it was worth it. It was worth every second, man. We're speaking with Colin Ray, who's going to be coming to town here performing at the Performing Arts Center Thursday, September 26th. Colin, what can people expect from your show?
Well, it's an acoustic. This particular show is a trio, acoustic trio show, and we do a lot of. I do three different kinds of shows now. I do the acoustic trio, like I'm going to be doing there at the PAC, and then we have a full band that when somebody wants drums and electric guitar and all that, we got that. When we want to rock a little bit more, you know, and then I also do a tour called Roots and Boots that I've been on for about almost 8 years, where it's myself, Sammy Kershaw, and Aaron Tippin all together. So it's I do three different types of shows. And I have to say my favorite is the acoustic show.
Right on.
Because even though there's no drums, even though we still, I don't know, I just feel freer.
Yeah.
And we can, if people yell out requests, if they think I'm maybe not going to do one of my hits and they yell it out, you know, guess what? We'll just do it. You know, it's just real, it's very laid back and flexible. And I think it's great for performing arts centers and theaters like that. It's the most musical.
Yeah.
All the shows I do, you know.
That's so cool to be doing different shows with this tour. I imagine it keeps it fresh for you, keeps the creative, you know, energy going and everything. But also really cool to hear about this particular show you'll be doing here in Rapids. We're excited about that. And I did want to mention one thing before we do wrap up. I know how busy you are, but real quick, actually, one other thing I did want to mention, speaking of your live work, you are a great MC, man. You do a great job interacting with the audience. I have such a high respect and a high bar, if I'm being honest with you, for people that can, you know, sing, play music. That's great. But how do you work with an audience? How do you incorporate the audience? You do such a great job with that.
That's a great compliment. Thank you.
This particular show, it sounds like, and just from what I've been able to see online, you're really able to do that, really connect with the audience. Is that part of what you love about this acoustic trio show?
Oh, totally. It's just, like I said, it's laid back. But we keep the energy going. You know, we definitely keep the energy going. But I just feel like I can talk. I can see faces. I like to bring the audience into the show, because without the audience, you got no show. You know, no matter if we're sitting up there by ourselves and no one's enjoying it, then nothing's happening, you know. So, but I love bringing them into it I've learned over the years how to read an audience pretty well and pretty fast. Mm-hmm. And so I can kind of tell what kind of night it's going to be and what they might like more than something else. And so even though we'll have a set list down in front of us with a list of songs, I guarantee it's going to change.
Right on.
because once we start the show, you go, oh, you know what? I think they really like this one, maybe more so than this one, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so we definitely, and I think they asked if we wanted to do a intermission there. And I got to say, be honest with you, I used to not like doing intermissions because I felt like it kind of broke up the flow, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But the older I get, I think it's kind of nice, because then you can regroup. You got about 15 minutes in between on the little break to kind of regroup and go, okay, here's what I'm thinking. Let's change this out for this on the second half. Let's change this out for this. And so I just really feel like it's really special. I think that show is really, really special. And if you're a Colin Ray fan and you want to hear a lot of some of the album cuts, you know, we slide a few of those in there too. There's certain ones that I get requests for like every show that were not hits, you know. And so we try primarily keep it hits, of course.
Yeah.
But we like to slip in a few things. If I want to do a cover or something that I think would work really well, I know a zillion songs, we might just dive into something like that too. So it's I just love the freedom I have at a show like that.
Yeah. I love the halftime adjustments you're able to do. That's awesome. and the improv of nature of the concert it gives such a unique performance to every night. That's really cool. I do want to encourage people to check out the website, colinray.com. And while you're there, check out the live auction he's got, everybody. This is a really cool opportunity for you to get personal items auctioned live on there. Be sure to check that out. And again, colinray.com is where you can find out all the information about his tour and everything else. Colin, we cannot wait to have you come to town. This has been a blast. Thank you so much for joining us.
James, you're awesome, man. You'll be at the show, right?
Yeah, I'll be there.
Make sure you come up and say hi, okay?
Will do, man. Will do. Safe travels, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you so much for your time, brother.
Thank you, man. You have a great day, and we'll talk again real soon.
Okay, man. Thanks. Bye-bye.
And we're going to go ahead and play a little of Colin's music for you to give a little preview for you as we get ready for Sally and Eric's conversation here at Midday Magazine on WFHR.
I need a new town for my new start. Selling VCRs in Arkansas at a Walmart. I haven't had a drink in 19 days. My eyes are clear and bright without that haze. I like the preacher from the Church of Christ. Sorry that I cried when I talked to you last night. I think I'm on a roll here in Little Rock. I'm solid. Just one small problem here in Little Rock. Without you, baby, I'm not me.
Welcome back, everybody, to Midday Magazine. Sally and James here with you. Sally Kistner, Executive Director of the Arts Council and Savor the Arts. And Sally, wonderful music and a wonderful interview with Colin Ray. I got to thank you so much. I wouldn't get a chance, our audience wouldn't get a chance to talk with these individuals without you. I really do appreciate it. I feel like I made a new friend. Like, Colin's awesome. He's a really nice guy. And that was a really fun experience. Let's get into the details of this show in particular.
You bet. So we're looking at Thursday, September 26th, 7:30 p.m. at the Performing Arts Center. Tickets are $59 for adults and $10 for students. And you can purchase those online 24/7 at savorthearts.com or give us a call, 715-424-2787, or stop by and see us at 1040 8th Street South in Wisconsin Rapids. Our hours are Monday through Thursday from 10 to 2:30.
Sally was kind enough as well to give us some tickets to give away. Be listening here at 97.5 FM WFHR and our sister station, 105.5 WIRI, Wis Country. We'll be giving you an opportunity to win some of those tickets. Thank you very much for that, Sally.
Absolutely.
This one, Colin was so excited to come to town here, and he's played in Wisconsin before, of course, and everything, and really enjoys it. But he loves this particular. So he's got it really good right now, where he has kind of almost got three different types of tours going on. One where he gets to work with other guys that he really enjoys playing with. There's another one that's a little bit more traditional, his live set, a lot of his hits. But this one that we're getting here in town is his favorite. Colin's acoustic trio. and this is a real stripped down, a real intimate way of being able to just really interact with the audience. And he just, you can hear him in the interview. He's so excited to be able to do this one, and especially at the PAC that he himself has seen and heard, that it's the acoustics in there, all of that. This had to have been a really fun one when you nailed this one down, Sally.
I was so excited because obviously country always sells season, and to be able to nail him down and bring him in just felt so good. We were listening to quite a few other groups that are also excellent, but we just kept going back to Colin Ray. So when we finally pinned it down, we were pretty pumped.
You know, and I that makes sense. I think a lot of us understand that. What I thought was so interesting is he had the same energy. He was just as excited that we wanted him to come to town and everything. and this is a guy, again, for those that don't know, 24 top 10 records, 16 number one hits. He has been a five-time, both with CMA and ACM nominee for Voice of the Year. This is a guy who's had a nice career. He's been going strong since the early 90s.
Right.
1990, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And does not, like, it doesn't seem like it's gotten lost to him. Like,
he's humble.
And he just really still loves, he's just a boy from Arkansas, just still loves performing, you know? And I love these kind of acts. He's going to be so much fun to come to town. We are looking forward to this. Again, get your tickets Thursday, September 26th at 7:30 over here right at the Performing Arts Center. Colin Ray performing live, Colin Ray Acoustic Trio. Sally, before we do let you go, if you don't mind, I would love to preview November's upcoming event, because we've got a good one coming up November.
Absolutely. We have the Glenn Miller Orchestra. Tickets for that one are $54, and that's being held November 7th. You also have the option of dinner before the show. For $40, you can purchase a ticket to Lake Air. There's a limited menu, and you choose among three different options. And you can get those tickets directly through us as well.
They got classics, Fools Rush In, Tuxedo Junction, That Old Black Magic. This is one of my all-time favorites. That one gets in my head as soon as I say it every time. Some of those greats you can still hear. And, you know, when it comes to orchestral music, one of the things that I think is really unique about this, my papa was a fan of orchestral music a lot, specifically Glenn Miller. He would talk about how Glenn Miller never got old. Like, his music is being performed the same as Glenn Miller performed it. And without there being voices involved in some of this, chances are, every once in a while, you can tell the difference between this horn player or this flute player and another one. Mm-hmm. For the most part, you don't really hear that big of a difference. So you're still hearing this very similar, if not just as the Glenn Miller Orchestra performed it. And that really, there's nostalgia, and then there's something like that.
Right.
That just really feels good for the soul and hits you really good. And, and again, in the Performing Arts Center, one of the better places you can hear a performance. Like, those acoustics are top-notch. It's a great place. Eric, a shout out to Eric and his group and his team over there and the great work that they do on this. Sally, what are the details on the Glenn Miller Orchestra event?
Glenn Miller, November 7th, 7:30. Tickets are $54 for adults and, as always, $10 for students. You can contact us 24/7, savorthearts.com, or call 715-424-2787, or come see us 1040 8th Street South.
I want to say a big thank you to Colin Ray for joining us. That was a lot of fun. Thank you so much, Colin. Come check out the Colin Ray Acoustic Trio as we kick off the 48th season of the Arts Council. Congratulations on that, by the way, Sally. Thursday, September 26th, 7:30. Join us over at the PAC for a great show. Get your tickets at savortheArts.com. SavortheArts.com. Sally, we'll talk again real soon.
Sounds good. Thanks.
We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up here at WFHR.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Today's U.S. Bowling League Day. I am not in a bowling league. I think that would actually be kind of fun.
Oh, yeah.
I do like to bowl. But
you got the bowling shirt going on tonight there, Pete.
I do have the bowling shirt. In case the game breaks out, I'm ready. because I was raised, I'm a street bowler, Chris. I'm ready in case a game breaks out. It could happen.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
Join our advertising family on WFHR and WIRI and see how radio can help improve awareness, revenue, and staffing for your business. I'm Ashley, and it's my mission to help our area businesses thrive. Call me today, 715-496-0710.
The Morning Show on WFHR. It's serious comedy.
Many people struggle with a lot of these things, though, like making and maintaining friends, making new friends. Mm. These are things that actually, like, I am very envious of the people that are good at making friends or can just start a conversation with just about anybody.
What people don't understand is that's why James hired me and Melissa, not because, you know, we're talented or anything. He's lonely.
Very.
That's how he gets friends. He hires them to work with him.
My friend's contact list, it is three.
Weekdays from 8 to 10.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Authorities in Two Rivers are investigating the remains of a human skeleton. They're not confirming or denying it could be Elijah Vu. The 3-year-old boy has been missing since February. The sheriff's office says a deer hunter found the remains. The sheriff says he cannot provide specific information about details. A new study finds a split on how people in Wisconsin feel about drinking raw milk. Sean Patterson led the study for the University of Pennsylvania.
We did find that people living in rural areas thought that raw milk was safer overall than people living in the suburbs or in urban environments.
Untreated milk has been linked to illness outbreaks. Patterson says the risks don't outweigh any perceived benefits like better taste or nutrition. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The Let's Keep Talking Parent and Caregiver Series is back in Marshfield. These monthly meetings give parents and caregivers tips and helpful tools to know how to help the young people in their lives. On Tuesday, September 10th, the focus is on screen sanity. This free seminar will take place at 6 p.m. at the Marshfield Public Library. Screen Sanity is an international nonprofit that equips parents with guides to help youth navigate the digital world in a safe and healthy manner. That's Tuesday, September 10th at 6 p.m. Gas prices fell over 10 cents per gallon over the last week. The average across the state today is $3.06 per gallon. This is 36 cents lower than a month ago and over 53 cents lower than this time last year. Prices should continue to drop as we head into fall. The average across central Wisconsin today is $2.80 to $2.98 per gallon. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Michael Douglas would like his real name back, which is Michael Douglas. 50 years ago, when a young Michael John Douglas, now known as Michael Keaton, burst onto the Hollywood scene, his name was already taken with the Screen Actors Guild by Nepo Baby Michael Douglas of Wall Street fame. Now, according to People magazine, Keaton wants it back, or at least a derivation thereof. The Beetlejuice star from now on plans to go by Michael Keaton Douglas. The grieving process appears to be over for the band Linkin Park, 7 years after the death of lead singer Chester Bennington. The band has a new lead singer, new material, and a tour in the works. Replacing Bennington on vocals will be Emily Armstrong, formerly of the band Dead Sara. Chester Bennington took his own life in 2017. Linkin Park's new album is expected to drop November 15th of this year. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the mid-50s. More sun than clouds with a slight sprinkle or shower chance tomorrow. High low 80s. Mostly sunny and mid 80s on Wednesday. Humidity levels stay down, but it heats up again on Thursday. Upper 80s and mostly sunny. Right now it's 80.
Usinger's has been making America's finest sausage for over 140 years. Now Usinger's fresh brats are flash frozen and vacuum packed so they stay butcher shop fresh for 6 months in your freezer. And because there's no air in the package, there's no need for chemical preservatives. Usinger's fresh brats are the freshest, most additive free you will find. Enjoy some this summer with our other Great Link products. Our VacPack sausage seals in flavor and leaves out chemicals. Remember, if it's got the elf on the label, you've got quality on your table.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west, northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898, but 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Jane Mattiner and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, she is running in Wisconsin's 18th Senate District. Kristen Alfheim joins us at 11:06. We'll hear what she's hearing about on the campaign trail. Don't miss it.
Mattiner on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Monday, September 9th, 2024. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. And in part two today, we are speaking with our friends at NAMI. We have NAMI of Portage and Wood Counties. We have Board President Andrea Morrow with us right now. Andrea, always good to see you.
Good to see you, too. Thanks.
Thanks so much for being here. We hope to be joined by Linda, their treasurer over at NAMI. Linda's hopefully going to join us in a little bit. So we're just going to get the ball rolling here because we can't wait to talk to each other and talk to you about NAMI and what they do.
Right. Thank you.
But before we get too ahead of ourselves, I do want to talk a little bit, Andrea, about the new location that you guys are in. Where are you located and where can people find you now?
So our location for the rapid support groups has relocated to McMillan Library. We are, for the most part, in the all-purpose room on the first floor. For the days where we're going to be in the upstairs meeting room, all you have to do is stop at the reception desk and they'll point you where you need to go. But we really wanted to highlight the Wisconsin Rapid Support Groups and the change in location. So right now we have our family support group, which is meant for people that live with others that live with mental illness, so the family members. And that is the second Monday of the month. And then we have our peer support group, which is for people living with their own mental illness. And that is the third Wednesday of the month. So those are both now at McMillan Library. And we want to just give them a shout out and thank them so much for allowing us to host our groups there. It means a lot. And to have that free space from them is a really great community bonus.
And like a lot of our community, I've spent a lot of time at McMillan in the many years that I've lived in this community. Not just that, but my mother working there for over a decade and stuff. You know, I did a lot of time in that building. I feel I would not speak for them, but I feel very confident in saying they love having you just as much as you love being there.
I love that. Yeah, we're very appreciative, and it's just such a great safe space for people to come, and it's a private room, so we can still maintain that confidentiality and offer that support to people without them being out in the general area. But just being able to offer a community space like that, I think, is so important to creating that that really comfortable zone for people to get the support they need.
I come from a household that was very, very clear and very adamant right away. You're not going to bury stuff. You're going to talk about things.
Absolutely.
And we talked about mental health and these things my whole life and go way back on this one. But I do think that the location of these support groups really can lead to, and I don't have stats to back this up, I just know people. And,
yes.
And really maybe lead to people feeling even more comfortable talking about certain issues or certain topics or sharing. Certainly with NAMI, as you mentioned, it's a soundproof room. You're in a safe, safe place, in a good place to talk and everything.
Yep.
Always.
Absolutely.
That's always been the case. I just think that looking at the setup here and a great library is our hub. They tend to be our community hub. And having something like this set there can just lead to even more healing, even more good feelings and more good conversation.
Absolutely. And we're hoping that the change in more of a neutral location will bring in some people that maybe hadn't attended before. We understand that faith, people's faith, is a really important part of their recovery and management of mental illness. But it's important to point out that NAMI is a non-denominational organization. So a lot of our things are held in churches. And while we're incredibly appreciative of that too, we really thought that for the Rapids demographic, that perhaps a neutral space that was not religiously affiliated might be a good option to try. So that's just something that we're going to try out here in this area and see if maybe it'll welcome more people.
I think a good example of this is actually my mother and I, who are Jewish. And at first, when the first early days before we had a chance to talk and some of this, and you just see a flyer or something where NAMI might be being held or something like that, to the eye that is not, you know, looking close enough, you might think something like that. And certainly it didn't take much homework for either of us to realize, oh, no, that's not the case. Just what you just said there, Andrea. But not everybody gets a chance to do that, maybe, or especially when we're talking about a subject that, being honest, this is not always the something that people are really, you know, jumping at the bit to talk. And they're going to be really, you know, sometimes we're looking for excuses when we don't even realize we're looking for them. And like, right. I can't go there because I'm not this or something. And the idea of opening this up, something that's already been opened up for everybody. It's always been the case, but maybe making it just that much clearer to people. I admire that. I think that's a smart and really appreciating move in looking out for the community and really listening to the community. It shows exactly. that NAMI is doing that,
exactly.
Which is beautiful to see.
This
work's important. And this is, we're doing some, you guys, I should say, we all together as a society, certainly, but specifically what you guys are doing are really on the forefront of a lot of stuff that I think in the next 10, 20 years, we're only going to go deeper into. The genie's out of the bottle. We're not putting it back in.
Right, exactly. And that's something important to keep in mind, is that mental health is such a mainstream, commonplace. 1 in 5 Americans lives with a diagnosed mental illness. And that's a really staggering statistic. And when you keep in mind as well that of those 1 in 5, those are diagnosed. There are hundreds of thousands of people walking around out in our big, beautiful world that are living with a mental health condition and they have not yet been diagnosed. And it's just so important to bring this topic up to anybody that will listen. And that's a big reason why I continuously share my story and I'm so vocal about mental health and mental illness specifically, as NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness. Our main focus is those living with mental illness and their family members. So when we're bringing specifically mental illness to the forefront, it's giving all of us that live with mental illness a platform to share and to speak and to get that support that we need. And that's needed in any community. And to be able to have that here in Rapids, I think, is very, very crucial. And we really want people to know that we're here and that we do service Wood County as well as Portage County. And that's a big reason why we're holding our event in October as well, is to bring more community involvement here to Rapids and Wood County as a whole, because there is that entire demographic here that need the support just as much as all of our fellow community members in the Portage County area.
We're going to get to that great moment in a second, that great event in a second, if you don't mind, Andrea. Any chance I have to piggyback on something like this,
yeah.
I'd love to, because one of my bigger passions is reminding, especially in the community we live in here in Rapids, where we have an older population, that these things, while they may be being newer in some of our culture and more diagnosed or getting a chance to be able to diagnose these more because of tests and some of the advancements we made on the brain and some of this, and just some of the conversations we're more open to having now, we don't have these conversations in hushed voices anymore. These are not new things. There is the science to back up that Da Vinci was dealing with certain mental health issues, that Plato was, that so many of the great minds that we've known and loved and read from and researched have been. This is not new. So more than likely, chances are some of you older individuals out there may be living with something. And you don't have to live with it alone. You don't have to fight this alone. And never, we as a society kind of got this mucked up early on where we thought that, oh, the strong bury things. Like, no, no, the toughest, strongest human beings I've known in my life, and I've known some tough people, face these things, deal with these things, and live a better life because of it, and a healthier life because of it. You deserve that. You've paid, especially to our older listeners out there, you paved the way for us. You're trailblazers. You are individuals that deserve to live whatever lives you've got, you however you want to live it, happy and understanding some of these things better. And that's where an event that's coming up like this, Andrea, can be so helpful. And could give people more of an avenue to maybe open up and maybe find out about some of these things.
Absolutely. And when you bring up the older populations, they do need to have a special recognition because it's a very generational roadblock that a lot of our older population runs into is they never were allowed to talk about mental illness. They mm-hmm. never were allowed to embrace it. They, like you said, were taught to bury it down. And not even the strongest of the strong, it's a lot of people from that generation yeah. Yeah. did not have that conversation. I think of my parents and the people my parents' age, and I've really been the one to bring them that knowledge of mental illness. And it's something that they need the representation as well. And any age range from 18 and up is welcome at our support groups. And that's just something that we really want to have that welcoming environment, regardless of the generation you were born in. You still value, you still matter, your mental health matters, and you deserve the support. So whenever you're in that demographic that maybe wasn't encouraged to share that part of themselves as they were growing up, you are absolutely welcome. And we will embrace you with open arms when you're ready to come and share that information with us.
This is all stuff too that whether it is you know, trying to get better or trying to live a more fuller life or any of the above, all of this is doable. We're not talking about anything that is impossible or only two people have ever pulled this off or anything like that. As I just got done rambling that sentence, a bunch of people out there were making headway on living a better life and working through these things. I am a living example of this. Anybody that knew me, you know, as a high schooler, completely different human being than I am now. And this is something that can happen for anybody out there listening. We are speaking with Andrea Moore, board president of NAMI of NAMI of Portage and Wood Counties. I want to make sure I get that right, Andrea. I want to make sure I get it right. And we are speaking with Andrea Moore, board president of NAMI of Portage and Wood Counties. And we are joined by Linda Treasurer over there. Linda, I want to get your last name right.
Frelick.
Frelick. Thank you. It is Linda Frelick, treasurer of NAMI of Portage and Wood Counties. Linda, thank you again so much for being here as well. And both of you, I want to jump right into the wellness within reach. We're kind of leading into this, Andrea, a little bit, talking about how this is not only a great idea for an event, but a great named event, too. I love the name for this event, Wellness Within Reach, a World Mental Health Day gathering. Linda, what can we tell the audience about when and where this event is going to be? Or if you want, we can go over this all together here. I didn't know if this was something that you were highlighting or anything, Linda, or not. But
It is Wednesday, October 10th.
Mm-hmm.
Andrea is going to give us the location because I can't remember that.
Sure,
I know it's
sure,
a park.
Sure. Yeah,
it's a park in Point, but I'm from Stevens Point, and I know Stevens Point like the back of my hand. It is an event just to bring people together that maybe family members or themselves deal with mental illness and just see what NAMI is. Let us help support you, offer you a free meal and some camaraderie with other people that know what you're going through.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Thursday, October 10th from 4:30.
Wednesday. No, I'm so sorry. It is Thursday. You're right.
Thursday, October 10th. I'm cheating. I got it in front of me. You guys are doing this stuff off the top of your head. You're way better at this than I am.
It's Monday morning.
Yeah, it is doing Monday a really morning. Good job. It'll take place right just a couple of blocks from us over at Helen's House at the Park Shelter in Wisconsin Rapids Zoo, 911 Gaynor Avenue. Now, what this event is really unique. It's a free light supper provided by NAMI of Portage Wood Counties. It gets people, you know, together over, we talk well over food. we do this. It kind of lightens things up a little bit. It kind of breaks the mood a little bit too, and breaks things up. You're going to have an author down there for this as well. That's going to be nice. Ken Farmer is going to be sharing his family's journey.
Yep, absolutely. Ken Farmer has written a book, and very, very interesting and really wonderful book. And he has offered to share with us some of his family's story and really bring mental illness to the forefront in a way that people can connect to. When you hear that peer support, the peer stories, that's what really connects people, whether it be other family members helping you or people that live with mental illness helping you. And that's how we really connect everyone together. The reason we chose this title is because October 10th is World Mental Health Day. So we in the United States here have Mental Health Awareness Month for May, but the entire world recognizes October 10th as the day. Mm-hmm. So we really want to bring everyone together in a way that we can bring that support, education, and advocacy to the Rapids area and Wood County as a whole, like we had talked about. But this event is really just going to be a way for the community to come together, to learn about NAMI, like Linda said, to just bring that awareness and let people know we're here, this is how we help, and to have some really good conversations around mental illness.
And one of the things that my dad taught me from a young age, I was raised by an athlete, hockey, football player, a baseball, a hockey player and all that, boxer, all of these things, but also a guy who was very, very Italian. And we are very, very emotional people. We wear our feelings on our sleeve a lot. And a lot of people might think that that tends to be a lot of anger and a lot of like a frustration, you know, a lot of the quote-unquote machismo energy and stuff. But I grew up around a lot of feelers. A lot of touchy people, a lot of people that like to hug, a lot of that, but didn't know how to. Didn't necessarily, they weren't raised by people that knew how to do these things, but a family that really wanted to be that way and really was trying to, but oftentimes, like, how do you hug somebody, trying to, and there's no playbook for this stuff.
Right.
So in that, I got to see a lot of that old school machismo trying to come across through, you know, different avenues in different ways. And I'm very thankful for that. I'm very thankful that I had the dad I did, because he was a very big believer in, you know, this is the toughest, this is what makes you brave. This is what true machismo is. And what Ken has done is that. I think we're getting, I'm seeing it more and more in younger generations. We're changing that in society of what it is to be tough, what it is to be strong. And so much of it isn't burying things, but sharing things and talking about these things. That is in true braveness in so many ways. And one of the definitions of brave, one of the ways of being brave. So what Ken is doing here and what his sharing his journey. That's one of the tougher things I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
I apologize. I this is a topic that I didn't know we'd ever get to this place. Oh, I really
I
didn't. I didn't know that as a little kid, when we kind of were taught in some ways to hide some of this stuff. You know, not by my mom and dad so much, but by just people in society and different people. You know, you don't talk about this, you don't share that kind of thing. Yeah. Where we are now is such a beautiful place, and we're going only more and more in that direction. I'm excited when I think about my kids or their kids, that kind of thing. It is an exciting moment for our community as well. Mm-hmm. And having this as a part of it is great, Ken being there as well, but this is also an educational resource. This is a place for people to be able to pick up information, ask questions maybe, Linda?
Absolutely. We will have a nice big resource table there. It's amazing when the people come to that table and see what we have to offer. First of all, they're shocked that we even exist, and we've been around for a very long time, maybe the early 90s, and everything that we offer is free to the public, and just being there and connecting with people in a real way is very moving for them and for us as well. I think the more people, when you help somebody else and you just let them see something, it brings me back. It gives so much more back to me. And one NAMI representative one time from the States told me, Linda, if you touch someone's life in your presentation, in your class, whatever, one person It's made the whole world, it's made a difference. And so that's what I'm always looking forward to.
That's well said. Yeah, that's very true. Again, this wonderful event, Wellness Within Reach, a World Mental Health Day gathering, will be Thursday, October 10th, 4:30 to 7:30 over at Helen's House right here next to us, just a block or two away from us. We'll be talking about this event, leading people up to it. Before we let you all go, I did want to touch on a couple of other things, remind everybody about the new location and some of the support and peer groups that are available. So let's remind everybody, where are you guys located again? Where are you? Somewhere around here, right around.
We are. So our Wisconsin Rapids support groups recently changed to McMillan Library. So we can't shout that out enough. We want people coming to the right location. McMillan Library has agreed to host our family support group on the second Monday of the month from 6 to 7:30. And our peer support group the third Wednesday of the month from 6 to 7:30. And we, again, are just so appreciative of them allowing us to use the space. And we hope that it's really welcoming and really brings people to feel safe to share their feelings and their journey and their questions and their concerns and allow us as peer support facilitators and family support facilitators to really do what Linda said, to reach those that need us. And that's the whole reason we're here, is to help the community. And we do that for free. We do that by, we're allowed to do that. We have the ability to do that by community support. And that includes donations. We're an all-volunteer affiliate. Everything we do is on our own time. And us being able to bring this to the community is just something that is so crucial, and it's such an honor. I believe for myself that it's an honor to be able to do what I do, and I know Linda feels the same way, and that's really how we can help, is by giving that support and providing the education and then advocating for those that need us as well as ourselves.
So much. Oh, go ahead, Linda. Sorry.
So just want to make sure we all know that this tonight is the second Monday of the month. Mm-hmm. So tonight in Wisconsin Rapids, we'll be at McMillan Library from 6 to 7:30 for a family support group.
So much of what you guys are doing is having people's back, whether it's physically or mentally. And we want to be able to do the same for you, because we appreciate you guys having our back. We want to have yours. I encourage you to find out more, to donate if you can, to volunteer if you can, reach out to our friends at NAMI and see what you can do and how you can impact your community. Because not only will you be making an impact in your community, but as these two have told you, as I will tell you, it has just as much of an impact on you and can be just as beneficial for you personally as your community. Find out more at NAMIPortageWoodCounties.org, NAMIPortageWoodCounties.org. If people want to reach you, Andrea, how can they do that?
They can go ahead and send an email to our NAMI email address. It's NAMIPortageWoodCounties@gmail.com. And they can go ahead and send that over. That does come to me, so I'll be able to answer any questions. But we also do have our NAMI phone number, too, if you would like to get information over the phone. That number
715-544-9653. And our board member, we have a board member that mans that. We kind of rotate that, mans that on a monthly basis. So we're always there for you.
Yeah, and that phone number again, 715-544-9653. Again, I'm cheating because I have it right in front of me, Andrea.
Right here, Andrea.
And if there is a mental health emergency, I know that this number is becoming more and more common out there. I want to make sure that more and more people hear it. 988. 988 is the number to call if you are in need. And please spread the word about that number just in case somebody out there could use it. And the website again, NAMIPortageWoodCounties.org, NAMIPortageWoodCounties.org. Be sure to follow their Facebook page as well. It's a great way to keep up to date on all the good things that they are doing, and share those things on your pages. You just never know who might see it that wouldn't otherwise. Andrea, Linda, thank you so much for what you do in our communities. You guys got to come by more often. We got to talk more.
Thank you so much. I really enjoy these times with you, James.
Always good to talk with you both. We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you. 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Today's U.S. Bowling League Day. I am not in a bowling league. I think that would actually be kind of fun.
Oh, yeah.
I do like to bowl. But
you got the bowling shirt going on tonight there, Pete.
I do have the bowling shirt. In case the game breaks out, I'm ready. Because I was raised, I'm a street bowler, Chris. I'm ready in case a game breaks out. It could happen.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the creator of the Meet the Parents franchise. Greg Liana joins the show to tell us where we can see his indie film classic and casting director Rex Sykes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 6 till 8. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Today's U.S. Bowling League Day. I am not in a bowling league. I think that would actually be kind of fun.
Oh, yeah.
I do like to bowl. But
you got the bowling shirt going on tonight there, Pete.
I do have the bowling shirt. In case the game breaks out, I'm ready. Because I was raised, I'm a street bowler, Chris. I'm ready in case a game breaks out. It could happen.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.